Today we celebrate the feast of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the feast of Corpus Christi. Universally in the church, we recognize the gift of the true presence that we have been blessed to partake of and become a part of. There is an important dynamic that we live in our times that in some ways I think we live in a time that makes it easier, but it's always a good thing to be aware of is we live at a time in which more and more the options are so many, it can make this clearer, right? When there's fewer options, say 100 years ago, it kind of just seemed like, well, you know, do you really need this or not? Everybody just did it. You maybe lived in smaller towns. Things were more routine. It's just the way that the culture was. I was speaking with someone who was familiar with the culture of Quebec, which is one of the cities I went to visit, Quebec City. And he was saying how it was the center of everyone's life. It was the center of the church was the center of everyone's life. And in a sense, whether they believed or not was another question. You still, it was the center of your life because that's the way everything was ordered. And so we can see that just because something is moving doesn't mean that we understand what it is that's going on. And we live at a time in which the center of life for culture is definitely not the church. It's a lot of other things, whatever those might be. But it can make it better for us because then we have to really wrestle with what is it that makes us believe? What is it that causes us to say, this is what I want to be the center of my life? And with that increase of many options, then there can be this question for people of, well, isn't Christianity just one more of the same many options? Or isn't profess a sacrifice what everybody did? And there's an important distinction here to be able to say, yes. Yes, in some sense, what it is that we are expressing, what it is that we're living, is a part of human history. And there can be another sort of dynamic that sees Jesus as the new thing that's not as connected with the past. But for us, we can say, no, it should look similar to all options throughout human history because humanity was originally connected to God in ways that there's like this faint echo that keeps coming down throughout humanity that's calling the human person, calling human communities to live in a certain way, but it like misses the mark constantly. It's never where it should be, but Christ then helps make the mark. And so there is a similarity that goes back, and at times we can look and say, like in a relativistic way, that's just one of the options. You know, the bumper sticker that has the like six symbols. You know, that's a pretty clear experience of what we could fall into is this is just one of six. As opposed to what it really is all of those things we don't need to deny in some way. We just need all of those things in the bottom with arrows pointing up to the cross. Because all of those things, in a sense, are expressing the human person's longing for salvation. Whatever way you want to say that word. Longing for peace. Longing to want to stop scrolling Facebook, right? Or longing to whatever the world is doing, when you order your life according to some other principle, you are not going to end up in happiness. You are not going to end up fulfilled. You might be able to make it work, but then it's going to be up to the strong, the powerful, the wealthy are the ones that are able to make it. But the gospel of Jesus Christ actually says the weak are the ones who will most understand. The last will be the ones who will begin to come first. And so to see that, I look at this because this feast day for many, even in Christianity, can seem very odd. You believe you're receiving the flesh and blood of someone? You believe that Jesus would feed you with his body, his soul, his divinity? What? Now, depending on the spectrum, some Christians don't have any of that. And then coming closer and closer and closer, and we have the joint declaration with the Lutherans that basically we believe the same thing in a sense. So you've got the whole spectrum of people that are able to say, what? Now, we should be able to take the spectrum of all of humanity and see, and I bet you in 500 years, if we continue towards secularism, the modern persons of that time will come together with some way of making sacrifice. They'll come up with some concept of like having to have blood as a part of making it right. And how is this already happening? It's happening with when your kids, you know, what do? They like prick their fingers and then they put their blood together. What's that about? Why would kids think I got to do a, what did they call that? Blood plaque. There you go. Hans, you got to like, okay, but it's got to, they don't just, one person doesn't do it. No, both need to do it. And then you got to touch it together. How come it's not, they just like, you do it and I'll do it and then it works. No, you got to touch it together, right? Well, if you look throughout human history, there's all kinds of experience or examples of this exact same experience. When I went to the forts, so the French came over to northern Canada 400 years ago, right? And without getting a huge history lesson, there was a battle going on between the Iroquois and the Mohawk, I think the Huron and the Mohawk, and the French became friends with one of the two. They became really close and they started sharing life and there was these moments where they would offer the like heart or offer a body part and the they would have to eat it. Okay, this to the natives is like a part of the way you live. Of course you'd do that. Now, remember the Frenchmen, you know, get ready. You know, that's what they did, though, because they wanted to, like, become one. Now, the reason the French person was doing it and the reason the native person was doing it were for different reasons. Why was the native person doing it? More for the reason, like, why the kids are putting their fingers together, because somehow their blood and my blood got to come together. Why blood? If you think about it, actually, the sexual act is the most intimate of all acts. How come it's not somehow connected to that? Why blood is the thing that has to connect people? Because everyone knows that in the end, if blood isn't pumping, there's no life. It wasn't the blood they're after. It's the life they're after that's in that animal. Or in that person, right? And when they would, like, a courageous warrior would die, right? They wanted his heart. Why his heart? Because his heart is the thing that made the blood pump. But in the end, it wasn't the heart. It was the life. The lifeblood, the spirit is what they were after. And there was something innate in people that was saying, to really be united, these have to come together. You guys, all of this, in a sense, is preparation for why we're here today. All of this was preparation for why God would lead the Israelite people through the Passover and why he would choose the blood of the lamb. The blood of the lamb. The blood must symbolize and of the lamb. Why? Because it was like the stepping stones on top of all of those ancient connections. It was like the next layer so that then we would understand it's this Lamb of God and his blood that will be offered. And we would totally miss the mark if we didn't have him who said, this is how you hit a bullseye, my friends. This is my body given for you. This is my blood offered for you. Do this in memory of me. And who could have ever conceived without the grace of God that there would be a way for blood and body to unite in a covenant in an unbloody way? And for 2,000 years now, the history of the world has the experience of the church, has the gift of the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. And today, each of us, come forward and allow his blood and our blood to become one. And as we do this, we recall that it is he who has offered his life, that we might have life eternal.